This is a message that was recorded at Word of Life, a London City church in Lewisham, London. May God bless you as you listen.
Hallelujah. Amen. So I'm going to be looking at fear. I'm just going to start off with, you know, when you hear that word fear, I just want to give, some background information to what fear is. First of all, there are two types of fear. Okay? There are two types of fear. The first fear is what I'm going to refer to as godly fear. Godly fear. And this is the fear of the Lord. Okay? This is the fear of the Lord. This is the fear of God. And, you know, when I talk about the fear of God, I'm talking about that act of standing in reverence or standing in awe, holy awe, towards God, towards God Almighty. Okay? So that's the first type of fear. That's godly fear. But there's a second kind of fear that we're going to, you know, be examining, obviously, today and probably maybe even next week. And that's ungodly fear. Okay? And that's what I'll also call the negative kind of fear. That's the fear that we don't want in our lives. And this kind of fear, what it primarily does is that it holds us back from being all God has intended us to be. Okay? So it's like an hindrance in our lives. It's like, you know, something that holds on to us and stops us from being who God wants us to be, who God has ordained for us to be, who God in His, you know, even before we were formed in our mother's womb, God had destined us to be certain people. And this fear is what stops us or holds us or seeks to hold us back from being, you know, that person. This kind of fear is carnal and it's selfish. It's a carnal, fleshly thing. It's a selfish thing, you know. And, you know, for many of us and many Christians today, fear has become part and parcel of our lives, which is a sad thing. It's become part of parcel of, and so much so that when you read somewhere that fear is sin, you nearly want to argue with that in your heart. You know, we don't really see it as sin. Like you would say fornication is sin or adultery is sin. You know, but before God, it is sin, because anything that is contrary to what God says in His word is sin. It's as simple as that. You know, and I was thinking about it, thinking, you know, it's become so much part of our lives that we've accepted it. It's become part of who we are, and it's like just another thing, just like doubt and anxiety and those things and worry, which we think they're not really too big a sin, but before God's eyes, they are sin. But in the Bible, you know, I've spoken about two types of fear. I'm going to break it down a little bit more. In the Bible, these two types of fear can further be divided into four categories. Four categories of fear. Okay? And I'm going to look at, you know, just name the four of them. And we're going to look at some scriptures, at least that describe the first two. The first one is a slavish or demonic fear. What I call slavish or demonic fear. Slavish. You know, when you hear that word slavish, we're talking about a fear that turns someone into a slave. That literally you're under the mercy of this kind of fear. This fear dictates, you know, your lifestyle, everything you do, you know. From the moment, for some people, from the moment that they wake up, this kind of fear dictates everything that they're going to do, what they're going to say, how they're going to operate, where they're going to go. It's a slavish, demonic fear, which is really, it's horrible. It's like a sickness, really. Okay. And let's look at 1 John 4 verse 18. 1 John 4 verse 18. Okay. And this describes a little bit about this slavish demonic fear. There's one word in this verse that describes it. Verse 18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment." That's the word I want you to take note of. Torment. This slavish and demonic fear is a tormenting kind of fear. It's actually torment. It torments. And sad to say that sometimes as Christians, some of us are living with that kind of fear, that kind of slavish, demonic fear, that torment. You know, when yes, we are Christians and we're involved in what we need to be, we're doing the things that we need to be doing. But, sorry? What verse? Sorry about that. 1 John 4, 18. Okay. But there is torment, and God hasn't called us to torment. How many of us agree that God hasn't called us to torment? God is not a tormenting God. God did not save you to then get you to live in torment for the rest of the number of years that you are going to spend here before you go to heaven. That's not God's intention for any of us. But this is what this kind of fear produces. It produces torment. Okay? Now the second kind of fear. So that's the first kind of fear, and we can give examples of that, but I wouldn't go into examples yet. The second kind of fear, or the second kind of category, is the fear of man. The fear of man. Proverbs 29, verse 25. And you see how the fear of man is described, what it produces. The first one produces torment. Proverbs 29 and verse 25. It says, "The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be saved." The fear of man brings a snare. But if we're going to be real today, so many people, so many of us, if we're going to do like a percentage check, it's probably going to be in the 90%. Most people have some sort of fear of man in their hearts and in their lives. And the Bible says this brings about, this produces a snare. This is a snare. It's a trap. When you talk about a snare, it's a trap that has been, that the enemy has set up to catch us, to cause us to be, you know, what God wants is the fear of God. Not the fear of man. The fear of God produces life, produces so many beautiful things, but the fear of man is just a snare, it's a trap. And a lot of people are suffering from the fear of man today. They are entrapped by this fear. They can't function because of this fear. They can't do anything because of this fear of man. They can't move forward. They can't be who they're supposed to be. They can't do what God has called them to do just because of fear of man. And you think, wow. And it might be just one man, it might be several men, it might, you know, but to be trapped like that because of the fear of another human being who is a man or a woman like yourself is wrong in the sight of God. So that's the second type of fear, the fear of man. The Bible says it's a snare. It's a snare. And then the third kind of fear is what I put in quotes. Normal fear of danger in the physical realm. Okay? The normal fear of danger in the physical realm. And we can, you know, there's several examples of that. Sometimes you are, you know, if you were to be on some mountain somewhere, and you have to, you know, or you have to climb up a mountain or whatever, the natural tendency is to have some degree of fear. Like, oh my goodness, what's going to happen to me? When I was thinking about this today, I thought, when I pictured Goliath, David and Goliath, I thought, you know, really, when you look at that picture, when you read that story, David would have been within his rights to have some sort of natural fear, just like everybody else. Because the way Goliath is described, and we know that it wasn't just a description, it was real. You know, the way he was described, the way he, you know, the, is it the largeness of his size or whatever, was enough to put fear in anybody. So there is what we'll call a normal, I've still put it in quotes, a normal fear of danger in the physical realm. That's the third kind of fear that, you know, human beings encounter, that they go through. Okay? But the fourth one, the final one, which I've mentioned earlier, is the holy fear in the spiritual realm. Holy fear in the spiritual realm. And this is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. Psalm 34 verse 9. Psalm 34 verse 9. Let's look at that. Psalm 34 verse 9. It says, "O fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him." Okay. O fear the Lord, you his saints. We see in the scripture that we're being commanded to fear the Lord. The Lord is the only one that we are given liberty to fear, given the go-ahead to fear. Okay. Also, let's look at Proverbs 1:29. Proverbs 1:29. Proverbs 1:29. It talks about, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Okay, we are supposed to choose the fear of the Lord. That's, like I said, that's the only fear that we are permitted to have and permitted to choose. Every other fear, you know, every of those first three categories of fear are not ones that we are permitted to choose or to have in our lives. Okay. So I just wanted to, you know, break it down into those four different areas so that you will see those different categories. Now let's go back to godly and ungodly fear. Godly and ungodly fear. And I want to look at godly fear. How godly fear. I'm going to look at godly fear first. How we receive godly fear into our lives. And I just want us to see that godly fear is something that God has already given to us. Whether we are walking in it or not is another thing. But God has already given to us the ability to fear Him as the Lord, to reverence Him, to stand in awe of Him. Okay? So godly fear. When a person becomes born again, that is when a person becomes a Christian, and there is the regeneration of the soul. You know how many of us know that, a regeneration takes place in our souls. When that happens, the Lord immediately gives us that godly fear, the fear of the Lord. He gives it to us as a grace. He bestows it onto us. We receive the fear of the Lord. We receive the ability to stand in awe of the Lord. We receive that ability to reverence Him. Okay, and that's why someone who is not a Christian, someone who is not a Christian cannot have the fear of God inside of them, because their soul is still unregenerated. So they don't have the ability. That grace they haven't received. But we have received it. We have it. You see, God will not call us to do something that He doesn't give us the grace to do, that He doesn't make available to us. So when He talks about the fear of the Lord, and you know, throughout the Bible we are commanded to fear the Lord, it's because He's already produce that in us the moment we became born again. Okay. So when a Christian is not walking in the fear of the Lord, it's a choice. If they're truly, truly, truly born again, it means that they have deliberately set aside the grace of God and refused to walk in that fear of the Lord. They have deliberately. Okay, it might also be the true lack of knowledge, but I don't know how you can be in the midst of, you know, how the Holy Spirit can dwell inside of you for you not to know that there is need to fear the Lord. Okay, so we see that You see, ungodly fear is as a result of the fall of Adam. Okay? That's where ungodly fear came from. As a result of the fall of Adam, we all inherited, among so many other things, ungodly fear, negative fear, that a lot of people are suffering really, 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 you know. I'm not going into this in details, but if we, you know, if you take a sample of people who are living, especially under the realm of slavish and demonic fear, in this country and all over the world, you will be shocked. You will be shocked. There are people that are literally paralyzed. They can't function. There are people that don't go out of their houses because of fear. There are people that don't talk to anybody, their neighbor. There are people that, you know, wouldn't even go to the shop to do their shopping just because of this kind of fear, this kind of slavish and demonic fear. The people out there. And that's because of the fall of Adam. Okay? That's because of the fall of Adam. And that is why the natural man does not fear God. Okay? You cannot expect. I'm not talking to unbelievers and say, fear God. It's a waste of time. Like saying to an unbeliever, speak in tongues. You know, it's a waste of time. They haven't got the Spirit of God in and inside of them, so how can they? You know, so you can't expect. You see, so the, you see, the, and that's why, you know, sometimes we'll see someone who is not a Christian and they're living in sin and they couldn't care less about God or God's name, you know, and they call the name of God in vain and it's a swear word. We see that in the world, you know, and we get really, really angry with them and sometimes we deal with it in the flesh. They haven't got the fear of God. So whether they call God's name in vain or not, it's nothing to them. They don't see it as anything. Are you getting what I'm saying? They don't see it as anything. Because the natural man cannot fear the Lord. Okay. They cannot fear the Lord. But when one becomes a believer and the regeneration of the soul takes place, like I said earlier, God gives the new believer the Spirit of Christ. So the Spirit of Christ dwells inside each and every one of us if we are true believers today, tonight. It dwells inside of us. And what happens is that Spirit of Christ then dominates our natural spirit. Am I making sense? Remember, we're both natural and spiritual beings. So we have our own human spirit, which I'll refer to as our natural spirit. But when the Spirit of Christ comes in to live inside of us, then it has an overriding influence. It dominates the natural spirit, the human spirit, which is what produces the ungodly fear. It's the natural spirit, the natural man, the natural spirit that produces the ungodly fear in us. But when the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of Christ comes to live inside of us, then it dominates that natural spirit which produces ungodly fear. But listen to this. It is to the degree that we allow it to. To the degree that we allow it to.
Amen.
So, you are either walking in the fear of the Lord, or you're walking in the fear, in the ungodly fear. And if you are walking more so in ungodly fear, it's because you're not allowing the Spirit of God that already dwells inside of you to dominate your human spirit. So you're letting your human spirit have the upper hand. You're letting your natural man have the upper hand. In other words, you're letting your flesh have the upper hand. You know, so that, you know, I don't confuse you. You're just letting the flesh have the upper hand. But that doesn't mean the Spirit of God is not dwelling inside of you. It is. But it's like the Spirit of God is crying out, will you let me? Will you let me rule and reign in your life? So that this fear, this ungodly fear that has no right to be in here, can be kicked out. That's the cry of the Spirit of God inside of it. And that is why in 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, the Bible tells us, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Because remember, the spirit of Christ is now inside of us. So he's saying, look here, I have not come. That spirit that you have been operating on because of the human, you know, under the human spirit, the natural man, I haven't given you that. I have instead come to give you, let's say, another spirit. The spirit, not the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So God, through Christ, has come to replace that fear that dominates our life. So we need to catch a revelation of that. And we need to begin to say, okay, so that's it. So I don't need to continue to walk in fear the way that I have done all these years. You know, you could be born again for the last 15 years, the last 10 years, the last 5 years, but still have such a spirit of fear that really, if we were to open your heart and open your life, it would be scary. You wouldn't want anyone to see, to know that you are operating in this, or that you experience fear like this. Okay, so it says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And in Romans 8:15 also tells us, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. When I read, I thought, wow, fear is bondage. God doesn't put anyone in bondage. Jesus said, I came to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. So, he said, you know, we have not received the spirit of bondage. So, that shows you that when Christ came in to live inside of us, we received a new spirit. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't the spirit of fear. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the spirit of bondage. Mm-hmm. Instead, it was the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Mm-hmm. So we need to cultivate, you know, when you cultivate something, then you cultivate something good, you can replace something bad. Mm-hmm. We need to cultivate the fear of the Lord. Mm-hmm. When we cultivate the fear of the Lord and we walk in the fear of the Lord and we let the fear of the Lord take control in our lives, it will kick out the spirit of fear. Mm. You see, just like a preacher, like Pastor was saying here, it's just like a preacher. Most preachers will tell you, you know, especially the first time you come up to a pulpit, you are like, you know, you just want sometimes the floor to open and just get into it. You understand? But then, something rises up inside of you and you remember that you are out here or wherever preaching as a representative of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are not there because of the people you are preaching to, if you get what I'm saying. You are there because of the Master that sent you to go and bring forth that word. And it's that spirit that takes over. Do you understand? And then you begin to speak the word boldly and courageously. It's the fear of the Lord that causes you to do that. If not, none of us will be able to stand out here. I remember the first time, you know, my husband and I, when we started doing the Married for Life courses, the first we had prepared and everything. The first time, and these people came, it wasn't even a hall, it's just in our sitting room. And the maximum you get in those courses are five couples, a couple who are leaders in training, and then you. And the moment everybody sat down, you would not believe it. All true, I could not open my mouth. We were supposed to teach together. My husband taught the whole, you know, 2 hours. Why? Fear. I have not caught the revelation that, look here, Folake, this is an assignment that God has given you, both of you, to do. So why are you fearful of their faces? You know, I hadn't caught that, but soon after all. But my mouth was mute. And you see, that's why I'm saying it's a slavish, going back to the ungodly thing, it's a slavish, tormenting kind of fear. Because maybe there was one word that would have come out of my mouth that might be a blessing or something that would set someone there free. But the enemy, through fear, was able to seal my lips all through for 2 hours and I couldn't talk. So, fear is a really, really nasty Ungodly faith is a really, really nasty, horrible thing. And that's why the Bible refers to it here as the spirit of bondage. It is bondage. You know, when we pray here and we say, Lord, every bondage, every interest, fear is one of them.
Amen.
And sometimes we need in our prayer closets to address it. I had to, I grew up being a very fearful person because my mom was very fearful. And that's why even as parents, we have to be very careful, you know. And as people of God, you know, even sometimes, even it might not be your own child, but you know, maybe you're a spiritual father, spiritual mother to someone. We have to be fair because we can transfer that spirit of fear, you know. And I was fearful of everything. Everything. And it takes a while for God to be able to do that work in our lives. But we need to cry out to Him if it's a major problem. And I know that there is a major problem in the lives of some people. And we need to not just think, okay, this is who I am, this is how I am, and just accept it like that. Amen. Amen. So like I said earlier, the regeneration of the soul establishes godly fear in our hearts as Christians. That is what establishes it in our hearts. But we need to walk in it. Okay? We need to walk in it. Ungodly fear. According to the word of God, and I've said a bit of this, but I'm going out there. There I was laying a background as to how godly fear comes into our life, the fear of the Lord. But now let's look at ungodly fear. According to the word of God, fear is defined as dread or terror. Dread or terror. It is translated as being something terrible, to be afraid, dreadful. You know, these are some of the words, okay, that can be used to describe ungodly fear. By direct implication, it actually, fear means to stand in awe of something or someone. Okay? On a general note, fear means to stand in awe of something or someone. And the only someone that we are supposed to stand in awe of is God Almighty. But then, the enemy has a way of thwarting that which belongs to God and wanting to steal it for himself. And it therefore then causes us to stand in awe of man. Stand in awe of something that we then, but it's a, like I said, it's a paralyzing kind of thing that stops us from being who God has intended us to become. Okay. When you look at the scripture, let's look at Matthew 10, verse 28. Matthew 10, 28. The scriptures here in Matthew 10:28, you use the same Greek word to identify both the fear of men and the fear of God. Matthew 10:28. Matthew 10. And Jesus was speaking here. It says, and do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Okay. The Greek word that is used in this scripture identifies both the fear of man and the fear of God. And what was Jesus saying? He was saying, okay, don't fear man. Don't fear that one that can kill just the body. But fear that one that can not only just kill the body, but also send the soul to hell. Okay. But let's move on. According to the Webster's Dictionary, fear includes, and I thought this was a really good definition. This is the Webster's 1828 Dictionary. It says that fear includes the painful emotion or passion excited by an expectation of evil. I'll say it again. We're talking of ungodly fear here. Fear includes the painful emotion or passion excited by an expectation of evil or the apprehension of impending danger. Okay. And each each one of us will know that the natural response to any impending danger, whether it's true or just perceived, is to avoid it. Okay. But what fear is that is the anxiety response to that danger. Ungodly fear is that anxiety response, because naturally, when we feel that there is impending danger, then we want to avoid it. Okay. But fear is that anxiety, out of that anxiety, fear is that anxiety response to that danger. So what that means is that wherever there is a possibility of danger, either real or perceived, there will be fear. And many a times it's just perceived. Many a times, especially for us as Christians, many of a times it's perceived danger. It's not real danger. It's something we've perceived. Oh, what if this happens? Oh, what if that doesn't happen? Oh. And then fear comes about. And the second thing to note is that fear is natural to the fallen man. But we are no longer the fallen man. We are the regenerated people of God.
Amen.
It's natural to the fallen man. It shouldn't be natural to us anymore. You know, we should be able to say, yes, as someone who did not know Christ, fear was such a problem in my life. But as a true child of God, a true believer of Christ, fear has been dealt with by the power of the blood of Jesus. Okay. So fear is natural to the fallen man, but it shouldn't be natural to us. And that is precisely why God commands his children not to fear. I don't know, I didn't check, but I'm sure if we were to count the fear not, that God, you know, that is mentioned in the Bible by God himself, I'm sure it will be, I don't know, maybe into the hundreds. At every point in time, God was like, fear not, be not afraid, do not fear, because we're no longer in the fallen state as believers. Okay? We're no longer in that fallen state. And I'm going to end there tonight. Amen? I'm going to end there tonight. It's just a bit of food for thought and just background information about fear. Next week, I'm going to continue with what gives rise to fear. What gives rise to fear? We'll look at what we fear the most. Okay? And we'll go into it a bit more next week. Okay, but just some food for thought to go back and to begin to think and examine our lives. You know, as I was preparing, I was forced to examine my life. That's the good thing when you have to preach the word. You have to examine your life first. And, you know, examine my life. So please meditate upon these things and look at it, because it is a big problem. It's a big, and that's why it's amongst the 12 giants. You know. We will look more into fear of man as well, because that is also a big problem.
If you have been blessed by this message, please don't hesitate to contact us at www.wordoflife-lcc.org. And remember, God loves you.